All right, take your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6, please. The book of Judges chapter 6. I'm going to finish a message we started a couple of weeks ago in the life of Gideon. And Gideon, as our example of leadership, becoming a leader, I'll just give you a little review of things that we talked about and then move on in the passage. We'll read our text verses here, and then I'll just remind you of things that we talked about. Verse 12 of chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And we find Gideon being called a mighty man of valor, even though he was a young man at the time, very inexperienced. And we move to verse 25, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" When they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it yet is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also were gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And the rest of the text goes on and talks about how God was going to deliver Israel and use Gideon to do that, and how Gideon wasn't certain that the Lord was really leading, and so he tested the Lord and asked the Lord to prove himself by putting out the fleece and so on. And later on, then in chapter 7, we find that God works a great victory and delivers the nation of Israel by the hand of Gideon with just a handful of men, as it were. And we read all of this to just give us the context and highlight the fact that Gideon was used of God. Gideon was being put into a place of leadership, but he was tested before he was put into that place of leadership. And we talked about how God has designed and works through authority, through leadership, and how definite and decisive leadership is essential, how good leadership benefits everyone, that it's God's plan for homes, for families, for churches, to have good leadership, because someone's going to give direction, and someone's going to give purpose, and someone's going to give focus to a family and to a church and to a community, to a nation, and the responsibility God places on the shoulders of a man. And it's God's intent and God's plan for men to embrace their role of leadership in their realm of influence and lead in a definite, positive, principled course. And if there's a void, someone or something's going to fill that, but it's not going to be the best. And so Gideon is our example that we're using in our Bible character series on becoming a leader. And we looked at how our culture and how our churches and how families and homes these days are lacking in good leadership. And the reason is because there's a lot of, I call them man babies out there. Men in bodily form, but babies in their character and babies in their mind. And prolonged adolescence is a curse, even on our culture. People who want to live like Peter Pan and never grow up and take responsibility. And the result is a severe lack of leadership, and it brings negative effects to families and to churches. And I wanted us to take a look at this passage and see what was it that helped Gideon become a mighty man of valor. And we said, first of all, that where this leadership began, it began at home with him. Verse 25, God gave Gideon a command. He said, go tear down the altar of Baal that your father has. God told Gideon what he was to do in verse 14. God told him how it was going to happen. And then the Lord put him to the test in his character. And we said how Gideon becoming a leader started at home. And what a challenge that was for him to put God and obedience to God ahead of even what his family believed. Put God first, even ahead of what people who he loved and who loved him thought and believed. We talked about, in the application, we talked about this developing leadership in our day. It begins at home too with parental responsibility, where the Word of God tells us to train up our children in the way that they should go. Where Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And there's a biblical command for parents to bring them up and to train them up in the way that they should go. It takes training, it takes work to instill character and principle in our children's lives. It doesn't take any kind of training at all to teach them how to lie. Because we come forth from the womb speaking lies, the Bible says. It doesn't take any kind of training or character to teach them how to be lazy, to be unkind, to be selfish. Those are natural tendencies of our flesh, and they are some of the very reasons why there's a void of leadership today, because flesh is out of control. Society suffers from spoiled, lazy man babies and prolonged adolescence. It's why, again, we've got a culture full of 30-year-olds that still live in their mama's basement playing their video games. It's true. And it's a scourge on society. And ask the question, where are the men? Where are the real men? Godly men. There was parental responsibility to teach and to train, to build character. And so often we as parents will set the stage for our children's success. But we also said there was personal responsibility, because God gave Gideon a command. God gave Gideon a job. He was told to tear down his father's altar to a false god. And we made the application that a lot of times we want to blame others for our failures or blame others for problems. And no one can blame their parents. There's no perfect parent. We have some personal responsibility to the things of God for ourselves. And we can stop the negative trends in our own life by choosing that which is right and that which is principled. And that was the case with Gideon, part of Gideon becoming a leader, becoming a man that God could use. He had to determine to be obedient to God himself. You know, we can't ride our parents' coattails either, or our pastor's coattails. We're responsible to God for ourselves. And if God is revealing something in your life, we've got a responsibility to obey. And it took courage on Gideon's part. It took some character. It helped him to trust in God later on, because remember, later on, when God told them they were going to go and fight, they had 22,000 men to start with. God whittled them down to about 300. Gideon had to trust in the Lord for that victory. And trusting in the Lord is part of leadership. Being able to find the will of God when you don't know what to do, when you don't have the resources, being able to get an answer from God yourself. There's personal responsibility. So those are all the things that we had talked about. I want us to work our way through the rest of this text here. And we saw where becoming a leader began for him. It was at home. But the next thing I want you to notice is when it began. When did it begin for Gideon? I want you to look at verse 27. So we find here that God told him to tear down the altar. God told him to build a new altar unto the Lord, to offer a sacrifice in verse 26. But look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And we're looking at when it began. Well, it began at once. It began right away. It didn't begin someday for Gideon. God said, this is what I want you to do. And the next thing we read is that Gideon took and did what the Lord said to do. We see a little bit of fear here because the verse goes on to say, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. We see a little fear here on Gideon's part, some uncertainty. But you know what? Gideon didn't hesitate in spite of the fear. He overcame that fear and he obeyed the Lord right away. Gideon didn't say, when I'm older or when I have more experience, then I will. Gideon obeyed even though he was young, even though he was inexperienced. God said to do something and he obeyed. Listen, when God's call is clear and when God is speaking and his will is being made known in our life, we should never put it off or wait, because putting it off is disobedience unto the Lord. If the Spirit of God is revealing truth to you from His Word, and the Spirit of God is beginning to compel you, listen, you've got a responsibility to obey now, not someday. I think there's a lot of times when teenagers kind of have that attitude sometimes. Someday, when I'm older, I'll get serious about the things of God. But now is the time to be developing a discerning heart and a discerning mind. Now is the time to be seeking God's face. You know what? There's probably too many single adults now that have never developed in this area, that are selfish individuals, that are spiritually stunted in their life, and it's led to a void of leadership. Let me talk to you men for a minute who are married. Can you lead your wife and your family and the things of God? Are you spiritually mature? Those of you who desire to be married, are you spiritually mature enough to be able to lead a family in the things of the Lord and the way of righteousness? That's your responsibility before God. Or are you a spiritual man baby? Stunted, prolonged adolescence, living by your feelings. What can I get out of this? Let me say to you, it doesn't matter what your physical age is. Now is the time to be developing and growing and seeking after and obeying God. That's priority number one. God's command to Gideon here was pretty simple, really. Go tear down that altar. That's to a false god. Build a new one to me for everyone to see. It was really kind of a baby step for Gideon in preparation for what was coming. Gideon had all that he needed to do what God was telling him to do. Gideon simply needed to obey and do it. God was preparing Gideon to do things that were impossible later on, that would require faith and obedience. And my point is, becoming a leader, developing leadership, spiritual maturity, all of those things, it starts right now, not someday. Where are you at? in your spiritual life, in your physical life? Are you seeking after God? Are you obeying what God has already told you to do? When did it begin? Well, it began right away. God said, do this. The next thing we see is that Gideon obeyed and did what the Lord said to do. Where did it begin? It began at home when he was young. Let's look at what he did. What did he do? Well, his work was twofold. Verse 25 tells us, God said, to take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Verse 26 tells us that there was a building up. So we see that first of all, there was a pulling down, and secondly, there was a building up. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Gideon's work was twofold here. There was a pulling down and there was a building up. First of all, he had to pull down the altar of Baal. That altar of Baal represented things that were false, things that were deceptive, things that were opposed to the rule and the will of God in this society, in this culture, and in their life. You know, we have things that are false and deceptive and opposed to the rule and the will of the one true God in our life too. Our flesh is opposed to the will of God in our life. Our flesh is false and deceptive. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted, or that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We find here that we have spiritual and mighty weapons that are able to pull down strongholds. In verse 5, casting down imaginations, casting down the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God in your life. Listen, that's what our flesh does. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God in our life. And you know what? Everything that is God usurping, everything that is self-exalting, needs to be torn down in our life. God said, Gideon, this false god, Baal, has an altar and people worship it. I want you to go and tear it down and make it known and make it public. I'm the one true God. I'm greater than Baal. There is no God beside me. Tear it down. We need to do the same thing in our life. The things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, the works of the flesh. Listen, there could be external things. Things that we give too much time and too much attention to that take the place of God. Things that dishonor God because in and of themselves they're not wrong, but when they start to take the place of God or usurp God, then it becomes wrong. It needs to be torn down. The grove that was by it was to be cut down. It represented the goddess of love, Ashtaroth. Baal was the god of fertility. These people worshipped him. Ashtaroth was the goddess of love. And it really speaks of the passions of our own flesh. The things that exalt themselves, they need to be torn down. The things that usurp God need to be torn down. We need to have a heart that's willing to rid ourselves of those things that dishonor God. That's part of being a man, part of being a spiritual man and a true leader. But then there was a building up, verse 26 of our text. tells us that God told him, after you're done tearing that thing down, I want you to build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. It's a public place for all eyes to see in the ordered place. And he says, offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. He built an altar unto the Lord, and he replaced that which was ungodly with that which is holy. You know what? It takes some real character to do that very thing in our own life. Rooting out, removing the things that are dishonoring to the Lord, and replacing those things with that which is holy. How many times do we know that things need to be changed somewhere in our life, but we're too lazy or we don't want to change? Or we are convicted of the Lord and we begin to make those steps and we begin to make some changes, but we don't ever replace that which is ungodly with that which is holy. Maybe we begin to tear it down, but we never replace it. You know, whenever there's something that fills a void in our life and it's a wrong thing, when that is removed, there's still a void there. Isn't there? That void is going to be filled with something. It needs to be filled with that which is holy. A lot of times, you know, when we, just a good example, maybe there's something of this world that occupies a big portion of our life. Maybe watching movies or too much TV or too much of this or too much of that. And when that is removed, as I remember there was a time in my single adult life where it was bad, where I would watch ESPN, the same show, probably about 4 or 5 times in a day. Like, it's an hour-long program, and it gives all the highlights of all the sporting events of the day and of the week and so on, and then the program's over, and then it's like it's on repeat, and the exact same program comes back on. And I would watch it again, probably, like I say, 4 times in a day, the same exact thing. And there was a point in time, and it's just ridiculous, there was a point in time, though, where God began to get a hold of my heart. Like, you spend way too much time doing that which was absolutely unprofitable. And I got convicted about that, and I wanted to change it, and I stopped. I rooted it out, and I stopped. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't replace it with something godly. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what am I going to do with my time now that I'm not filling it with the thing that's completely worthless? And I felt like I have all this emptiness and all this empty space and so on. And guess what happened? I ended up going back, doing the same thing again. Why? Because I didn't replace it. I didn't replace it with that which is godly. Sometimes it happens. Might start to tear those things out, but we never replace it. And guess what's going to happen? We're going to end up going right back. I learned that void needed to be filled with something else, but something that which is good and profitable. I started reading some good books to fill my mind with things that are helpful. Things that are profitable, spiritually building and challenging. That's when progress began to be made. Gideon obeyed the Lord. He tore down that which was false, that which was God usurping and self-exalting, and he replaced it with that which is God honoring. What happened, though, when he did that? Well, if you go back to our text, verse 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. What happened when Gideon took a stand, and when Gideon obeyed the Lord, what happened? Well, we find that the attitude of the people changed real quick. These men, who probably used to like Gideon before he stood for what was right, now wanted him dead. They said, Who did this? When they found out it was Gideon, they said, Bring him out so we can kill him. I wonder if they probably liked Gideon before that. But you know what? When you begin to change, and you begin to do right, and you begin to follow after the Lord, and you begin to seek after God, and you make some changes in your life, there's going to be people who don't like you. Mark it down. You know what I say? So what? Are we to please men or are we to please God? Part of becoming a man and becoming a spiritual leader is choosing to put God first no matter what anybody else says or thinks. You know, in our culture, it's all about the let's all get along and don't offend anybody and compromise truth so that we can all share and, you know, and hold hands, and we're all Christians here, and so on. That's what our culture is. But that's not what the Bible is. God's Word is the standard of truth. We're accountable to God. And it takes some courage, it takes some discipline to say, look, I'm going to obey the Word of God. What does it say? Okay, here's what it says. This is what I'm going to do, because I'm to please God and not men. When you do that, there's going to be people who don't like you. But there's going to be someone who does. It's the Lord, who's going to be very pleased with you. Even at the same time as the attitude of these people changed, even at the same time as that, though, there were people who didn't like him, at the same time, Gideon gained a whole lot of respect from others. How do we know that? Because right after this, all of these men followed Gideon into battle. He led them. God was preparing Gideon for leadership. It started at home when he was young. It took courage, a character. When did it begin? As soon as God started speaking to him. He obeyed the Lord. And he fulfilled what the angel of the Lord had said about him earlier, Thou mighty man of valor. God wants mighty men of valor. God wants strong leaders. Our country, our churches, our homes, and our families need strong leaders. Not spiritual man babies. And it doesn't matter what age you are, what experience you have, or don't have. God wants you to embrace your role of leadership in your realm of influence and lead in a definite, positive, principled course. It begins by seeking after God. Let's be spiritual men, amen? Not spiritual babies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for these principles, these truths, and Lord, I pray that you would apply them as you see fit through your Spirit. Lord, as was prayed earlier today, that we would not be hearers only of your word, but doers. Maybe we need to do some self-examination. Maybe there's some areas that God has been speaking and we've been hesitating. We need to obey. Maybe there's areas we've been spiritually lazy in. Lord, I pray that you'd bring conviction and determination on the part of men to tear down the things that are dishonoring, God usurping in their life, and build up altars unto the Lord. Replace it with that which is holy. And Lord, I pray that you develop and make us mighty men of valor who serve and honor God. In Jesus' name.